Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, the golf teams getting ready to start postseason play. Both the men and women playing in the postseason. Also, track and field getting ready for a huge week. They're at the Sun Belt Conference Championships in Monroe. We'll talk about that. The Howl on Wheels Roadshow is about to get started. A little bit later on this month, we'll give you all the details on those events. And we'll tell you right now, there's no guests this week. There's a good reason for that. When you start looking around for people this time of year, especially when you get around to those dead periods in recruiting, that's when the coaches have their opportunities to take a vacation.
I'd say most of our teams fall into three categories. You got the teams in season. So like baseball, I mean, literally plays tonight and four games this week. You've got track competing for conference title. We'll talk about later. You got the two golf teams out getting ready for postseason. You mentioned that. Then you've got the sports that are in a dead period. Basketball's in one, like literally a no contact week. So that's a good, as you said, good chance for the coaches to get away for a minute. And then if you're not in a dead period, then those coaches are out recruiting.
It makes it a tough time to get somebody in here. The good news is we've got some good stuff coming up in the coming weeks.
And this is a good, well, this is a good episode for all the people who have come up to me in the office or at a game or wherever and said, this would be a lot better if you don't have all them goofy guests. We need more of you guys talking. So this is an episode for you people. Mom.
All right. Well, we'll start with baseball because they had an important series over the weekend. They went to Harrisonburg, Virginia, and it was my first ever trip to Harrisonburg with James Madison being in the league 2 years now. We've seen James Madison come to us in football, men's basketball, and then last year with baseball. But this is the first time that any of those teams have gone there.
Because the women have been out there, but
Women have. But my first trip to Harrisonburg, beautiful out there. It's right there in the middle of the Shenandoah Valley. I had flown into Washington, D.C. It's right at 2 hours, the drive from D.C. to Harrisonburg. So it's a beautiful place, really nice facilities, including their baseball facility. And it was a good thing they had turf this weekend, because when you looked at the weather forecast, you thought, are we going to be able to play three games? Kind of looking at the weather forecast ahead of time, and Saturday and Sunday, it looked like rain all day long. And you were kind of questioning, or at least I was, why in the world aren't we playing a doubleheader on Friday? And we didn't do that. They had played a doubleheader for their softball team that day, and I actually went over and checked part of that out. But we played Friday night and we got into the third inning and there was a lightning delay and then it just turned into a monsoon after that. It was one of those games where you had to suspend it until the next day. And we picked up at, I think, 10 o'clock local time the next morning. At that point, it was 5-2 James Madison. They had scored four runs in the first the night before. And because you have that suspended game, you really got to change up what you're doing pitching-wise. We had started Cole Turner that night. He had gone the first 2 2/3. I think ideally you would have liked to have seen him go the first five innings or so. But instead, you have to go to the bullpen a little bit sooner because of the rain delay. James Madison ends up putting together a four-run fifth inning, and they go on to win the game 9-4. So you complete the game on Saturday morning, and then you go straight into game two of the series. I'm not kidding you when I say I think it's the best game that our guys played all season long. Just offensively, defensively, on the bump, everything went right. And I think the biggest story, and I know you and I have talked about it both here and off the air too, was the pitching of Max Charlton. I think it's fascinating kind of what we've seen from him, because we've always seen for the last 4 years how good his stuff is.
He's the baseball equivalent of what they say about football. Is like, he'd be the first guy you send off the bus. And that's what I say about football. You know, you take to go with the Coach Keady version of that, he's pretty in uniform.
Yeah, and he looks the part.
And so it is, it's good to see it all kind of click here for him down the stretch.
What's interesting with him, he's been a reliever his entire career. He did have a couple of starts as a freshman back in 2021, but the rest of the time he had been a reliever, kind of a back-end guy when he's been throwing well. Last week, or the week before last now, Coach Raffo and Peyton Trawick decide, let's open up the game with him. And we did this at UCA. Yep. He goes out, he pitches two scoreless innings. And then we start him in the second game of that doubleheader on that Friday against Texas State, and he goes three innings, and he gives up just one run. Then they decided to do the same thing with him, to open the game. And honestly, you didn't know what you were going to get. You thought, okay, if we can get two or three innings out of him again and kind of open with Max, that'd be a great plan. Well, he goes out there and throws six innings against a team that was leading the league in batting average. They're hitting 300 as a team. And he was phenomenal. Gave up just one run in those six innings. Turns in a quality start. Couldn't be happier for him. And then Blaine Harpinaugh comes in after that, and he throws three scoreless to get the save.
Yeah, you said it. Couldn't be happier, you know, because guy who's just stuck in there, and to kind of now finally get this role here coming down the stretch and flourish in it. Happy to see, and it's a good example, like I said, just kind of sticking it out. And then we probably haven't had a chance here to talk about just how good Blaine Harpinaugh's been for a while.
Yeah, he's been really solid, and we've got him for another year after this one. But if you're looking for a bright spot in that bullpen this year, he's the guy.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And he's turned into that guy that they turn to when they have a lead on the weekend. And it was good for him to come in and do that. But we went error-free in that game. Will French was 3-for-6 with a couple of doubles. You know, having him back means so much to the offense. Jared Toler had a couple of really, really good at-bats. He had a two-out RBI single early in the game and then a two-run, two-out single later on. So he drove in three runs. Yeah, just top to bottom, as well played a game as our guys have played all season long. And you go back to the first game, there were two bad innings in that one. They gave up a four-run first and a four-run fifth. And they're playing great again on Sunday. It's a 2-1 ball game going into the bottom of the sixth inning on Sunday. Chance to win a series on the road against a James Madison team that was 20-5 at home. I mean, they had the best home record in the league, and it was that one bad inning that got them again. They scored seven times in the sixth. It was seven runs on just two hits, and Tommy Raffo preaches the free bases. We've got to limit the free bases. They had done it for pretty much the entire weekend, and when you walk five in an inning, it's not a good recipe for success.
You don't know the team that a bad inning doesn't impact as much, the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah, because they can come back and reset the next inning.
Yeah, they just go back and win the next inning, literally. But unfortunately, this is not like match play. Like, one bad inning can impact the rest of the game.
Well, it did on Sunday, and James Madison, you know, scored seven runs on two hits in that sixth inning. They go on to win the game 9-2. They take two out of three. And now the Red Wolves find themselves in must-win mode these final two weekends of the conference season. They've got Southern Miss coming in here this weekend, one of the better teams in the league. They were in a regional a season ago. They were in a super regional a season ago. It's just a really, really strong program coming in here. One thing that's interesting about Southern Miss coming in this weekend is their head coach, Christian Ostrander.
Yeah.
Who you actually spent a lot more time with than me. My first year at Arkansas State was his final season at A-State. He was a pitching coach under Keith Kessinger. But it's been fun to see him go on and have success. He was the pitching coach for several years at Southern Miss before he was named the head coach this past season. But he's coming back to the Tom this weekend.
He'll know his way around the place because it hadn't changed any.
It really hasn't.
And that's sad but true. I can joke about it now because I don't think it will forever be the case. I do not think that. So, hey, a couple other things before we get all the way away from James Madison. Number one, and I'll put this out there because I actually had somebody reach out to me and ask me at one point during the weekend. So if folks were listening to your broadcast this weekend, they may have heard a voice they weren't as accustomed to hearing on there.
Brandon Cunningham, our associate AD for development. And I will tell you that, number one, Brandon did a really good job. He's a baseball guy. He was a college baseball player. We actually had him in on this podcast, and he talked a lot about that. But he has a great love for baseball. It was really neat to have him in the booth and get just another voice on there, especially on the road, which I've been doing this 19 years. That's really rare to have somebody in the booth with me to be able to kind of bounce off of. It was neat to have him.
He played at Transylvania University.
That's right.
I
can't remember. Were they the Vampires?
I don't
What's
think
their mascot?
So.
If not, they should be.
I don't know. But that was one thing. And then I didn't know if you wanted to touch on the adventure you had coming home.
Oh, gosh. I've been on a lot of flights over the years, and pretty typical to experience delays. That's part of it. That's something you expect sometimes when you travel. But after a long weekend on the road, I had booked my flight for, I think, 8:20 out of Washington, D.C. on Sunday night. And I was supposed to get back into Memphis after a layover in Atlanta at a little after 11 o'clock. And there was a little bit of a delay getting out of Atlanta. They couldn't get the door closed
to
the aircraft.
That's reassuring.
Which I really appreciate them taking the time to close the door.
You didn't break out the duct tape, did you?
So we were about, 30 minutes behind them trying to get the door shut. We finally get up in the air. I had fallen asleep, and I wake up to all kinds of turbulence. I'm jerking around all over the place. And I look at my watch, and I'm like, man, we should have landed like 30 or 40 minutes ago, and we haven't. Well, it turns out we've been flying in circles. There's a really bad storm in Memphis. We keep doing that for a while, and finally, the pilot comes on and says, hey, we're going to have to divert the plane to Little Rock. We end up flying to Little Rock, get more gas for the airplane. We're probably sitting there about an hour and a half. Finally, we take off. We get to Memphis. We land a little bit after 3 o'clock in the morning. So it was a 4-hour experience flying from Atlanta to Memphis, which I don't recommend. I've been on a lot of flights, but that's one of the most miserable experiences I think I've ever had, especially after a long weekend when you're just trying to get home.
Yeah, because the irony of it is they make those schedules so that stuff like that can happen. They make those Sunday schedules, those early starts, so people catch a flight and get home on Sunday.
And every time you hear the pilot's voice come over the PA, it's folks, bear with us. Every time, folks, bear with us. And you're like, hi, I'm getting tired of bearing with you, pal.
He didn't want to land any worse than he did.
That's true. But
he didn't get paid by the hour.
Glad to finally get back home from that trip. But we've got a lot to talk about as far as stuff coming up. And the Howl on Wheels Roadshow. We'll talk about that right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back into the Second to None podcast presented by the Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. We mentioned the Howl on Wheels Roadshow. That's a big event that's coming up, and not just one big event, six fantastic events where we travel around coaches, staff, Jeff Purinton, Todd Shields yep. are part of this roadshow, caravan, whatever you want to call it. But it all starts up less than 2 weeks from now. In fact, May 20th in Memphis is the first day.
Yeah, I thought this would be a good opportunity to run people through the schedule. That way, hopefully, you're listening to this somewhere that there's going to be one close. And you can come by because I don't know a lot of places have put as much into their caravan stops as we do in terms of just the number of people that are going to be there from the athletic department. Number one, I don't know many that their chancellor go out on.
Yeah.
That's for starters. I don't know how many places get their chancellor to go out on their spring caravan, but Dr. Shields is going to be at most, if not all of them.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice touch.
You get your AD at nearly all of them, and then you kind of rotate through the coaches, but there's a lot of those stops, and I don't have the list of who's where, but at the bulk of them, it's Coach Jones, Coach Hodson, Coach Rogers, all three. There might be a couple where there's a little variation on that, but not by a lot. So it's folks you want to hear from coming to these things, plus chance to just all kinds of stuff. Be some information from an NIL standpoint, be some apparel available, just chance to chit-chat and eat some refreshments and have some drinks and ask the questions you've been dying to ask.
Yeah, part of the fun, too, because get up on stage and talk with the coaches, but then there's some questions from the audience that turn into a lot of fun. Yeah. We may go down a different path with some of the audience questions.
And some different stops this year, some places we hadn't been as accustomed to. Now, we were in
Mountain
Memphis
Home
last year. Starts in Memphis on the 20th. It's at the Soul and Spirits Brewery, North Main. And then on the 21st, it's up in God's Country. Downtown Paragould at Skinny J's.
That's a new stop.
On Thursday, the 23rd in Little Rock. And this is actually, so if you're in and around Central Arkansas, this is sort of a co-op event because it's our Red Wolves Road Show, but it's also the Alumni Association's Red Wolves on the Rooftop at the System Office.
Yeah.
And if you've not been to the ASU System Office, you should check it out. Really cool.
Really neat event last year. I really enjoyed being there on the rooftop and seeing all of our friends there. And you've mentioned it so many times, just the number of A-State alumni that are in Little Rock and Central Arkansas that get to see this road show. It turns into one of our better events, if not our best event.
I mean, after Craighead and Greene County, Pulaski County is next in the number of A-State alumni. So Little Rock, big A-State presence there coming on Thursday, May 23rd. Then you go a week without one until the 30th at home. And that's in the Centennial Bank Athletics Operations Center. So the football facility, the common phrase. So a lot, maybe it's your first chance to see some of that building. That's where they'll be, north end zone of the vault on Thursday, the 30th. And then the very next night, on a Friday night, the 31st, you mentioned going to Mountain Home for the first time. For one of these, at least in a long time. It's good because Mountain Home's an Arkansas state town.
It is.
Literally a campus.
I have a campus.
A beautiful campus. But this is at Raps Brewery in Mountain Home, and then it wraps up in Fayetteville. That one's the only one in June. You go all the way to Tuesday, June 18th for that one at Gearhead.
Yeah, we had a good crowd in Fayetteville last year. We went over, now it wasn't at Gearhead, but we had a good contingent show up in Northwest Arkansas. So it's good to have those Paragould and Mountain Home dates added to the schedule this year, and looking forward to being out on the road with the coaches and Jeff Purinton and Dr. Shields.
So it's one of those deals where, like, look, they're open to the public. You absolutely can just show up. Now, if you know you're coming to one and you'd like to RSVP, it helps maybe just from a little bit of a planning standpoint to kind of know roughly how many to anticipate. So if there's any of those you want to RSVP to, you can do that by calling the foundation at 870-972-2401. Or if you're just... You'll go to the website. If you missed any of that schedule, you can find the Howl on Wheels schedule at astateredwolves.com.
We'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolf fans, this is DeMario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities, make a monthly commitment, and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Big week for track and field. They're looking to collect some more hardware this Thursday through Saturday in Monroe. It's the Sun Belt Conference Outdoor Championships. And I know you were looking this up earlier. The women looking for their fifth consecutive outdoor title. And the men looking for their second straight and their third title in the last 4 years. And it all gets started with the decathlon. Our buddy Colby Eddowes will be competing for a Sun Belt championship starting Thursday at 10:30.
Yep. Good luck to Coach Patchell and the team. And, you know, typically that means hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll have some guests in here. You're talking about conference championships and getting ready for regionals and all that fun stuff. So it's about to be a real track-heavy time. And, you know, honestly, you get to the point where they're the last ones competing. And, you know, you hope you've got people competing all the way through the conference meet or the regionals or the NCAA meet, Olympic trials. Who knows what all we could have people in the next few months.
You know, that's going to be interesting. You mentioned the Olympics, and the people that we've talked to just on this podcast about getting ready for the Olympics. I mean, that's a goal. Now, it may not be all 2024,
yep,
but there's some A-State athletes, whether current or just graduated, that do have their eye on the 2028 Olympics. So
yeah, because there's not a lot of those events. It doesn't appear that there are a lot of those events from a track standpoint where, like, 22 is in your prime. And I mean the age, you know, like on the top end, if one of our track athletes is 22, they probably are looking at Olympics down the road. And maybe they think they got a chance to make the next two Olympics. So, I mean, we do have, as you said, names that were part of this program in the past that'll try for not just Team USA, but several other countries as well, try to get their way to Paris.
Let's talk about golf. It was a big day this past Wednesday. The selection show was airing on the Golf Channel, and we had a good group of folks out at the social that were out there watching to see where the men's golf team would land as far as their regional. There was no suspense on getting to a regional because they get the automatic bid with the Sun Belt Conference Championship. But the champs will play in the Austin Regional Monday through Wednesday of next week to compete. They'll be the 12 seed in that region.
You know, there are three teams from the state that made the NCAA field in the men's side because UAPB won a conference title too, and they're in it. But then you got two teams from the state in the field in Austin.
Yeah, Arkansas's in that regional.
Arkansas's there too. So, really, I mean, not that they're not all going to be tough, but it's a really tough regional out there, and you try to find your way to the top five and move on to the NCAA championships.
Had a lot of people give us some feedback about our visit with Thomas Schmidt last week, and neat visiting with him and just hearing his story. And I think the thing that stood out in the clip that Mark Taylor took while we were in studio of him and his reaction to when he found out that he was the Sun Belt Golfer of the Year.
Yep, that, and I enjoyed that, obviously, and I enjoyed him talking about you kind of being open and honest about the nerves coming down the stretch when you're, I mean, look, because these are, I mean, are they really, really good? Absolutely. But are they still young adults? Heck yeah. And at this point, there are two guys on that golf course knowing that winning a conference championship only lies now on their shoulders, and that's it.
Yeah.
We're going to win a conference championship if I win, and we're not if I don't. It's a lot to put on somebody.
I think so much of it is because of that team aspect. He wasn't talking about shaking when he was playing for the individual title
right.
the day before.
Right.
He was shaking when it came down to the team championship.
Yes, yeah, so to hear him talk about, you know, if he had to do it over again, there were putts he would have backed away from. I thought that was really cool. Cool insight, kind of what's going on mentally in a situation that honestly not very many people find themselves in.
And we mentioned this last week, the women's golf team also playing in the postseason. I think we were both surprised when we found out it was the first time ever the women's team had been to the postseason. But they're going to the Golf Week National Golf Invitational in Maricopa, Arizona. It'll be this Friday through Sunday. Good luck to Coach MJ and her crew, her very young team
yes.
that has an extremely bright future. Expect them to be winning conference championships very soon.
It was surprising, kind of segue into this and big picture. Jerry Scott did a lot of it. I helped a little bit, and Caleb Garner did, especially too on the track side. Mark Taylor also went and tried to put together a one-stop shop, a living document, going back as far as Arkansas State's time in the Sun Belt, so like the 91-92 year on, postseason success in every sport. Because mention, you look at the 10 team sports outside of track and field,
mm-hmm.
and six of those 10 made some sort of postseason play this year. But one of the interesting things we found about women's golf, because we put had never played in the postseason before, they've actually won a conference championship. They've won a Sun Belt title. So assume, without really knowing the history or going back and finding it, assume it just predates the Sun Belt having an automatic bid.
Which is hard to believe in any NCAA sport
yeah.
that you would not get an automatic bid
by
winning a conference.
That was an interesting kind of thing to uncover in that research. And then to pair it up with all those events, but also kind of now pair it up with the split track into six sports, right? Track is six sports because you got cross country, indoor, outdoor for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have each of those six sports in a different column marked with notation of conference titles, and then how many qualified for in the it's the national meet in cross country because everybody can go to the regional. So it's, you know, how many times did you have someone qualify for the national meet in cross
yeah.
country, or how many times you had someone qualify in for the nationals in track. So there's some time we can print that thing off and take a little deeper dive into it here and look at the success we had. But all of it really stemmed from the fact that we've had a really successful year this year.
I know we talked about it last week, but Bubas Cup standings, they stayed still right there. And I feel really good about the Red Wolves and the Bobos Cup this year.
Well, it'll be, listen, I mean, we talked about it last week, but I mean, I feel good about it too. Not because, I mean, it'll be on the up and up.
Oh, without a doubt.
I've always been interested in those numbers. To me, it's a little different. And I would say even a little better representation of what schools fared best in the sports in which they compete.
A lot of good stuff going on right now. Anything else we need to talk about before we call it a wrap?
No, hey, come out this weekend if you're around.
Senior day,
and I think maybe even two, acknowledging the baseball guys that missed their graduation last weekend. I think that'll happen at some point, too, this weekend. So the weather this weekend's unbelievable. So I should have three really good days to play.
Friday at 6, Saturday at 3, and Sunday at 1. The start times against Southern Miss. Hope to see you there. Look, we mentioned the guests coming up. We got a lot of good stuff coming
up.
Yes,
we do.
And looking forward to the coming weeks here on the Second to None podcast. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.